So I call you up.
Right.
What is the first thing you say when you are Zaven Collins?
Was it the we're going to kill everybody? That
I think that was
well, Bo Brack, Locked On Cards, thanks for joining the show. We had your sidekick or your least better half on the show last week, Mr. Alex Clancy.
Thanks for putting up with him, guys. I don't know how it's tough to deal with him on a daily basis with all those takes, but no, thanks for having one. Actually, that was like a very charitable thing to do.
No, we love talking sports and we love talking you with you guys. And what we love best is you come at us, right? Like, I'm a Niners fan, Big Ben's a Seahawks fan. The gloves are always off when we talk, so it's always fun.
Hey, Bo, can we reenact one thing for me? Because this has been the talk of the draft. And the Cardinals have the conversation between the GM and your first round pick. Can I hear it verbatim? You've had to, so I call you up.
Right.
What is the first thing you say when you are Zaven Collins?
Was it the we're going to kill everybody? That
I think that was
that was unbelievable. You just knew, like, okay, you know, they didn't fill the need at cornerback. They didn't take a playmaker. We're going to have to wait for that one. They go linebacker. And you think, okay, Tulsa, don't know much about Tulsa. It's the American Conference. And it's like, okay, at least he comes out and he's got a little bit of a personality. And he drops that one-liner. And you're like, okay, I can work with this. I'm here for it. And then he has this, I don't know if you guys saw, he met with the media later that night. I think he might have had a couple pops in him because he was on Good Morning Football this morning, and it wasn't as entertaining as that was. Like he looked like somebody doing a Matthew McConaughey impression. He did. He looked like he was a public speaker or something. And he had all these like cliche like sayings that your grandfather had. It's like no taller than a grasshopper's knee or something like that. And you're like, how old is this kid?
Hey, Bo, I may say this: the Spokane is to Tulsa what Oklahoma is to Washington. So bear no mind in that. I'm sure he had some pops. I mean,
okay,
you got to say to the kid. But he also said another thing. We're going to win a ring that is, what, bigger than a dog can jump over or something along those lines?
We're going to win so many rings that a dog's going to have a tough time jumping over him or something. Like I said, the kid's just full of just – weird outdated phrases, but if he can ball, he's colorful, right? If he's not, you're just like, okay, I'm tired of it, let's stop with the phrases, let's just work on playing the inside linebacker position. But I actually think he can play. I think he's going to be good for the Cardinals. I mean Zaven Collins, that he'd be like one third of the Seahawks draft class if he was in their draft class, since they had three freaking picks.
Yes.
No, when you bring that up, though, Jordan Brooks was a late pick in the first round. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and I see him as it relates to the Cardinals, more of a piece, right? I think we've talked about the Cardinals having pieces in which, you know, you can do 4-3, 3-4, whatever you guys want to do. So, well done.
So Bo, you're watching the draft. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought you guys were going to go cornerback.
Yeah,
and then J.C. Horn went at 8, Surtain went at 9, and then the Cowboys were coming up, who everyone thought that they wanted defense. They made a trade. Like, what were you thinking at that point?
Yeah, I just like that the NFC East was just kind of setting up the Bears to make their big move to go up and get Justin Fields. It was who had J.C. Horn as the first defensive player off the board? I mean, for the entire offseason, he was being mocked to the Cardinals at 16 until the Caleb Farley injury came out that he had to have back surgery. I don't know. I mean, I think most mocks had the Cardinals picking the third corner in the draft. And if it's Greg Newsome, there was a little bit less to that we knew about him coming out of Northwestern. So it was like, okay, well, which wide receiver's on the board? And the way the dominoes fell that way, you would have been picking, you know, who was the fourth wide receiver off the board. It wasn't, you know, Chase was already gone. You had Devontae Smith going to the Eagles. You had Waddle already off the board before that. So it was pretty slim pickings for as far as the Cardinals need. So the fact, and this is complete hindsight, guys. It's like, okay, I think they made a good move. They finally got a guy, because last year they took Isaiah Simmons eighth overall. The guy played 35% of the snaps. They need somebody, the way that they're win now, they need somebody that can be on the field to make an impact. And I think Zaven Collins, actually, when you just look at the first round, he might be their best bet that they had at 16.
Yeah, and you made a good point with Simmons. It's almost like they tried to draft the same type of player. Yeah. Athletic, can play different positions, get him on different packages, and they would rather go with that coming into the division, having more flexibility on defense.
Right, exactly. And I think that what they're trying to do is get in on the ground floor of what the next, you know, wave of linebacking cores look like. And, you know, the old guards up there in Seattle, right? It's KJ Wright and it's Bobby Wagner. You know, is this them trying to get their own version of that? It looks completely different. But, you know, the next, you know, group of guys that, you know, on that second level of the defense that can just be absolute beasts, they have the tools to do it. Now it's going to be a matter of, you know, can they develop and can they kind of execute it? That's a completely different question.
Can we talk a little bit about your pick, the Purdue? He hasn't played all that much. It's kind of an unsung, but you have Andy Isabel, Christian Kirk. Are they one in the same, or what do you see out of your pick?
Yeah, Rondale Moore out of Purdue. You're right. He hasn't played really a lot since two seasons ago, and he's an absolute just freak, physical freak. You've seen the video of him squatting 600 pounds at under 5'8", and he's a little bit bigger, a little bit bulkier than Andy Isabella. The Cardinals do in fact have Andy Isabella on the roster, but the guy's on a milk carton the entire season. He is not somebody you can rely upon at all to make plays in this offense. And Christian Kirk was a guy that took a couple steps back last year, but I think that, you know, the way that they envisioned things playing out, with it being DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green maybe, and then Christian Kirk sliding down to wide receiver 3 and just kind of being able to go, you know, take advantage of softer defensive secondaries, he can make big plays. But you found out last year he's not wide receiver 2, at least not yet. So there's still a lot of question marks. And I think Rondale Moore, the biggest question is, like, can Cliff Kingsbury put him in a position to make big plays? Because when he is healthy, he is a guy that's explosive. He's sub 4.2 or 4.4. And just a ton of speed, and he's a little bit more physical. Once he gets hit, he's not getting taken down like Isabella is and was.
So sub 4.2, he's got a 42-inch vert, and he squats over 600 pounds. I want to know, is he going to be in that Geico commercial helping me crush boxes? That guy's a monster.
Just an absolute just look. He's great in shorts. He can work out really well, but we've seen, like, Andy Isabella kind of was the same thing. Like, they had the exact same 40 time. And I must misspoke. It's sub 4.4. It's like 4.43, which is still blazing speed. But, you know, can they put it together? Can he get separation on the football field? Can he beat NFL caliber defensive backs? You know, that we'll see. I mean, Isabella couldn't do it. Christian Kirk can't do it consistently. Steve Keim's like 0 for his last 4. Drafting, like, we could go up do factor, like, he like at some point he's going to hit on a wide receiver.
Well, I like the pick because, you know, most defenses, they're going to double Hopkins, they're going to have someone else spy on Kyler. So if you can put more on the right packages, I'm not going to say he's going to be Tyreek Evans, but you could get him on a reverse, put him in the slot, move him outside. It's a lot of flexibility, so hopefully he can make some plays and just be another weapon for Kyler to use.
Yeah, I agree. That would be great. I think I would love to see Cliff, you know, have an athlete like that and really just move him around. But it remains to be seen. That's what he said he's going to do. We haven't seen that deployed in the Cardinals offense in the 2 years since K2 came from Texas Tech.
All right, Bo. So let's talk about areas of deficiency that maybe weren't addressed in this draft. Yeah. I think the first thing is defensive line. If I look at PFF, latest article said, Cards, not so much on the defensive line. So what do they got to do in the offseason, or who are some individuals that you believe could step in and actually
reverse that tide,
I guess.
Sure. They've got a couple guys that they selected in the fourth round. They saw some playing time last year. Lecky Fotu from Utah. We've seen him play in the Pac-12. Rashard Lawrence, who played for LSU during the national championship year. Those are guys. They're just guys. At least they were in their rookie season, so they're not going to make a big impact. obviously they want to see from the rest of their front seven. They've got J.J. Watt, who's just ferocious and relentless. You got Chandler Jones coming back from the bicep injury. But the interior, as you're pointing out, it's thin. And if you got to get a little beef in there. And if Corey Peters can be the guy, bring him back. He's familiar with the defense. That might work for him. But yeah, it's pretty thin. I think that their expectation is to get most of the push from their outside guys, their defensive end types. You know, can you slide J.J. Watt inside and play a little bit more on the interior than he's used to? I think that's a possibility. But yeah, they definitely need to do that. And then I think the cornerback is something I've brought up before. It's just Patrick Peterson exited, right? And I think that was probably something that was just destined for divorce at this point. The unique offseason of the cap going down, him not being able to capitalize, trying to get his last big payday. He gets $10 million from Minnesota. He was never getting that from Arizona. So they bring in Malcolm Butler. And I think as far as production, and they weren't awful in the secondary last year, they could get the status quo. And if they get the status quo from their secondary, and then they have that front seven that they think is just going to be an absolute beast, that's going to make things easier for them. So, but I still think like we could be sitting here in week eight and be like, oh God, they didn't do anything as far as the secondary is concerned. We've got, you know, Russell Wilson just picking them apart. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are going nuts. And it's because Malcolm Butler's the only guy that can cover. So they got two guys in the draft that are like tool sheds. The guy, Marco Wilson, did you see him?
No, I was going to ask you if any of the corners they drafted have a chance of starting.
So Marco Wilson from Florida, he ran a 4.35 or something. And then he had a 43.5-inch vertical. He out-jumped the measuring stick. Out of this world. Like, of course, SEC athlete. But he was also, do you remember the LSU game against Florida?
Shoe thrower.
He threw the damn shoe. So he's got a little bit of a problem between the ears, apparently. So he was a fourth round pick that they like. And then they took this kid, Tay Gowan from UCF. And he was supposed to be a top 100 prospect, but he didn't play last year because he had a daughter that had a lot of pre-existing conditions. He didn't want to mess with anything with a young kid who in the pandemic season. So they're excited about him too. They got him in the sixth round. So you've got that. You've got Malcolm Butler. You've got Buda Baker coming back. There's potential, but there's also potential for disaster there. So they've got some guys. One of them hit. It could be good.
About before, let's finish on the cards here. One, we don't mention UW players on our podcast.
Ben doesn't. I do. Shout out to Buda Baker.
Right? Jalen Thompson. Shout out to Jalen Thompson, too. Dan Arnold, the tight end position. Where are we at? So I bring this up because we've seen other with shorter quarterbacks. Kyler's not the tallest individual in the quarterback position. But you guys have called out that I think it was 517 yards, single season record for receiving yards, which is, I think I could I be Dan Arnold and go get like a Larry Fitzgerald contract through the cards?
Isn't that fascinating?
Where are we at? That is super fascinating to me.
It's an empty room, basically. I mean, they have Max Williams, who's a guy who can block. He's really good in the run game, but you've seen him. He looks like a Lego guy trying to run. He's just like got the.
Any Max with two X's you can't trust.
Exactly. He's got the shortest strides ever. He looks like he's lumbering. So he's a big hog molly. He's a blocker. As far as pass catching, you mentioned Dan Arnold. He's in Carolina this year. He's not going to play for the Cardinals. So he signed a deal with the Panthers. The Cardinals are in desperate need for a playmaking tight end. They brought in a kid from Austria today. And I watched him. I watched his combine. Awful. Just terrible. He does not look like he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they just, hey, catch this pass. And he didn't look fluid or smooth at all. So they brought in a couple undrafted free agents, but they have to go get somebody. Maybe they tap into Zach Ertz with the Eagles. I mean, now we're looking at 2022 picks. You've got some more picks back. That could be interesting. OJ Howard, I think, is somebody in Tampa Bay that might be intriguing. Trey Burton is available, but you're right. I put it out there today on the tie-in season for the Arizona Cardinals is Freddie Jones in 2003 with 517 yards. Nobody's been better than that. Tim Tebow could probably come out of play.
Probably could.
And do that. Get teams up here.
Hey, yeah, just Mr. Tebow, this is Urban. I'm not taking your call, but let me transfer you to Mr. Kingsbury, and he might be able to take your call. I like it.
He's not going to tell Steve Keim, let's kill everybody.
No.
All right, Bo, we go to my Niners. I think we can all agree they won the draft here. So Cardinals are panicking. Big Ben's wondering what they're going to do. They're going to have to trade Russ because right now Seahawks are at the bottom of the NFC West. But in all seriousness, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, all the hype, all the questions. What did you think of the Niners pick? And then, you know, leading up to the draft, what did you think was going to happen?
Well, I wanted Mac Jones. I think Big Ben wanted Mac Jones.
Oh, I love Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mr. Mac McCorkle Jones. I thought that it was an awesome pick. Trey Lance he could be Josh Allen. He could be not Josh Allen. He could be a disaster. But I think as far as what they gave up and the upside that Trey Lance has, he's got his second pro day. If you haven't seen it, it was incredible. Like, he lit it up. He made all the throws necessary. He needed everything that he needed to do on that pro day, he did. But, you know, there's still the accuracy question, but he has, like, Jimmy G has the ability to become Alex Smith 2017 and have a good season for himself, maybe parlay that into what life is after the 49ers. And then Trey Lance, you know, by the end of the regular season, he's vying for that starting role, even though Jimmy G could potentially play well enough to get them to the playoffs. But I think there's a ton of questions as far as the Niners are concerned that people aren't talking about enough, you know, with Robert Saleh exiting and taking the head coaching job. You got D'Amico Ryans as a first-year coordinator. I mean, that's not just going to be like an easy transition. I mean, Robert Saleh was one of the best DCs in the league, and he's gone. So I don't know how you feel about that. They still don't have a wide receiver that can run a route past the line of scrimmage.
And Jet sweeps, baby.
Over there. You're the Yak Kings and Brandon Ayuk and Debo. But I think that Richard Sherman is probably your best defensive back. You brought back Jason Verrett. There's a lot of questions. They take the kid out of Michigan later in the draft, but there's defensive secondary questions. And then you got Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas coming back from injury. It's just like, they're not just going to come back and everybody's back in town and they're ready to run it back, you know, 2019 style. I think there's a hearty amount of questions that they don't necessarily have answers for right now. It's going to be a little bit harder. And then he's got a losing season in three of his four seasons at the helm. I mean,
okay, this is a question for you. You're Shanahan, you're Lynch. Day one start. Bo, I saw you on your Twitter. You said, let's not do the reserve quarterback. Put him in from day one from Justin Fields, right? What do we do with Trey Lance?
I think you got to see how he competes this spring, but it's got to be Jimmy. It's got to be Jimmy. Oh. I'm calling him Taysom Hill Plus, because in the red zone, you're probably going to put him in a couple different situations. Slowly dip his toes in before you throw him into the deep end. That's why you saw them draft.
Who's your starter from day one?
It's Jimmy.
If it's Jimmy G, I don't have the biggest issue with Jimmy G. If it's Andy Dalton, there's no reason that a guy like Justin, we know who Justin Fields is. He played in the minor league system for the NFL as far as Ohio State. What else do you need to know? Just throw him to the Wolves immediately. Don't play Andy Dalton. We saw Andy Dalton play for the Cowboys last year. He sucks. And I just think bridge quarterback for the most part, it might be talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I think bridge quarterbacks I don't believe in them. I don't think there's any need for them. Why not get a guy? I mean, Kyler Murray is fine. He started day one. Joe Burrow was fine, aside from the fact that Zach Taylor kept on dropping him back and he had no offensive line. So I don't, you know, Baker was, you know, probably should have started that season for the Browns. But coming out of North Dakota State, it's a little bit different. It's not the FBS, it's the FCS. And he didn't even play last year. Justin did. So the fact that they have Jimmy G, and I think Jimmy G is a guy that can at least game manage, it's fine. But if the Niners' expectations are, hey, we want to, I don't know what their what are their expectations, K-Win? Like, are they supposed to win the division?
I think they're telling themselves that. But if you saw who they drafted later, it was two offensive linemen and two running backs. So I think it's Jimmy G managing the game. Whatever running back's healthy is going to run. And then it's jet sweeps and it's the Kittle. And they're going to try to win that way this coming year. And then after that, maybe they'll draft a wide receiver, trade for a wide receiver, and open up the offense. But it's going to be the same thing this year, ground and pound. But I don't know if that's going to be enough.
You can't win the playoffs with that. Like, you have to, there's a specific throw that you have to make that Jimmy G proved when he sailed it over Emmanuel Sanders' head in the Super Bowl that he can't make. Like, we've seen Eli Manning could somehow make that throw. He made it twice. He threw it to Mario Manningham. He threw it to David Tyree, and he made big plays. And I don't think Jimmy G, he might make that throw like 2 out of 7 times, but I just don't. I think that Trey Lance, eventually, he's got the arm strength to make any throw, but he's just not going to be ready yet. I think as far as the 49ers are concerned, you're right about their draft strategy. I don't know. I think that they'd be tough to win double-digit games this year.
Ben and I always say, like, if you cover Garoppolo's jersey and Jared Goff, it's the same quarterback. Like, manage the game, throw screens, hand the ball off. Both of them can't throw down the field in the playoff game or playoffs. I don't know if they can win the big game in advance. So that's why the Rams got rid of Goff and insert Matthew Stafford. We'll see what happens to Jimmy.
That's such a good team too. The Rams.
Let's take this. Let's holistically look. Let's look at the NFC West. I think it's parity. Like, you, there is no one that sits there and goes, they're going to win it, and we're all playing for a wild card.
Yeah.
Do you disagree? Agreed, Bo?
No, I think that each team has geared up, especially the last couple of seasons, like they're going to win the division. And that was Steve Keim's mission this offseason. Going out and getting most of his free agents were over the age of 30. They were established stars, J.J. Watt, A.J. Green. James Conner's 25, but he's got a lot of mileage on his legs. He's been in the league. I think that they wanted to go from 8-8 to competing and taking advantage of this Kyler Murray rookie contract. I think, you know, Seattle's always in the thick of it. I mean, 2012, they haven't won less than 9 games. They're a lock to make the postseason each and every year.
We're the most passive aggressive NFL team that you can.
What are they going to do about their secondary? It's
Sherm.
Think he'll come back?
Maybe. Oh. We'll see.
Yeah,
we're trying to plug sing it, but go on. I like the track you're on.
Yeah, and then you've got Matthew Stafford, as you mentioned with Jared Goff. Like, what was he last year at the end of the season before he couldn't play in the final week? 500, basically. You know, they sneak in on the final day. They beat up on the Seahawks, an opponent that they're familiar with, and then this hype train just leaves the station. They go out, they get a quarterback that's been sub 500 for 3 straight seasons. He's got 0 playoff wins, 1 Pro Bowl, but apparently he's the next coming, and he's going to get the Rams over the hump. I don't understand the Matthew Stafford Rams hype.
Yeah, I guess it's throw him in with McVay.
Yeah,
he's going to all of a sudden throw down the field to Cooper Kupp and Woods. Like, I guess that's it. But I like your other point. It's the division is so tough. Like, look at Seattle. They had to trade 2 first-round picks for Jamal Adams.
Right.
And then the Rams traded 2 first-round picks for Ramsey and then also 2 first-round picks for Stafford. And I feel like the Niners felt like, if we're going to compete, not this year, but moving forward, we've got to unload our future 2 future-round picks to get someone who's going to replace Jimmy G.
Right.
Because they're admitting they're not good enough to come out of the division and win at current state or status quo.
All right, Bo, we got you for 4 more minutes.
Okay.
Here it is.
Oh, boy. did real quick.
This is set.
Did you see that the Cardinals are the only team in 2022 with their first-round pick in the NFC West?
No, I did not. That's accurate. That.
Isn't that wild?
Hey, it'll be a short draft party for us, Ben.
If you took a guy that said he would kill everyone,
right?
And we're just to win a ring. All right, Bo, give me. I'm going to leave this, although this is a dry race.
Okay.
Give me end of the season. rankings plus record.
Oh,
whoa,
wow.
Yeah, we're gonna go deep. We got 3 minutes, so it's 1 minute per person.
Okay. Do I have to lead this off?
Yeah, you're the special guest. You're the guest. I gotta buy some time.
I would have never come on if I knew that we were doing this. Oh man.
There's 17 games, right? They agreed on it.
Yeah, don't fuck up like Kyle. He's like, yeah, my Rams math is 12 bad. And 2. You know,
let's see. All right. So first place, even though I just spent a little bit of time just tearing them down, I'll go with the Rams. But I think this is gonna be a division that's going to be decided in the final weeks of the regular season, weeks 17 and 18 now. I say the Rams, they're going to win the division with 11 wins.
11 and 5.
Okay.
Right.
I've got the Cardinals. No, it'd be 11 and 6.
11 and 6.
Sorry.
I've got the Cardinals going 10 and 7. And I've got the Seahawks going 9 and 8.
Ooh.
And I got the Niners just coming in under 500, just a little bit.
Wow.
This is going to be just all out drag out brawl. It's going to be like Will Clark brawling. Will the thrill about. That's what it's going to look like. That's the NFC West.
8 and 9?
Yeah, let's go 8 and 9.
Okay. Okay, when?
All right. I've been counting on my fingers and toes. I think Stafford to the Rams. I'm going Rams 12 and 5.
Okay.
Rams are
going.
Why are some people?
My Niners 11 and 6. Cards 10 and 7. Seahawks 9 and 8.
Wait, hold on. Cards. I was confused. I was writing someone else other than the Niners in the second spot. Cards.
That keeps what do you have? Us though with the extra, I mean, I don't think he's won less than 9. So
what do you got the Cards at?
Cards at 10 and 7, Seahawks at 9 and 8.
Wow.
Okay. Sierra comes in and takes a couple snaps once they're eliminated from the playoffs.
I don't know why everyone's so high on the Rams.
I'm trying to jinx them. I'm giving them the hype so that they won't live up to it.
That's true. K1 jinx. I'm gonna go Cards. I think it's a big year for the Cards, but they're going to go 11 and 6. It's going to be parity. I'll give you the Niners at 10 and 7.
You're not going to do this to your Seahawks, are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Hawks at 10 and 7.
He's trying to set the bar low so he's not disappointed.
Right. It's like a reverse game going on here.
This is the most boring. And then I'll go. I'm actually going Rams. Rams are gonna be boring. And I'll go with Rams at the 9 and 8 record.
Just put Stafford under 500 again. It'd be funny.
Exactly. I should. All right. You guys both got the Rams.
I know.
We have no Rams constituents on this podcast, so that's helpful. But Bo, thanks for the time, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, before you jump off, you want to tell our listeners where they can hear more about you, check you out?
Yeah, for sure. Alex Clancy and I, we host the Locked On Cardinals daily podcast. Hitting it every day. Apple Podcasts, for some reason, is screwing up. Find us on Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts. Also, I'm doing a podcast with Matt Santangelo, talking some Zags hoop.
Ooh.
And Hoopcast.
Hoop Town. Right.
Damn right.
Get your hoodie.
Is Timmy leaving or staying?
I think Timmy's got to come back, right?
Yeah.
He does. Thank you.
Get him in with Chet Holmgren and that 7-footer with handles. And then Hunter Salas, the point guard, another one and done point guard. It's going to be fun to watch.
Chet's
Bo, thanks for coming on. Just once the world around. Opens up, maybe me, you, Big Ben, and Clancy can meet up in Old Town.
Perfect, man. Let's do it. I love what you guys are doing. The interviews are great. The live shows are awesome. More thrill, the thrill type interviews. I'm here for it.
All right. Thanks for jumping on. We appreciate it.
Big Ben's got receipts. Uh-oh.
I got them. They're living.
Take a picture of that. Put it out on the internet so we can,
we'll just come back to it. We'll just stay here. All right, Bo. Thanks,
man. All right, thanks, Bo.
Later, guys. Thanks. Yeah.